Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice. Today, my very special guest is
San Diego County's new public health officer, Dr. Seyon
Tihalolipavan, and also known as Dr. T, which we're going to use because it's a whole lot easier.
Yes.
He has served with the county's Health and Human Services Agency for the last 10 years, and before that with New York City's Health Department. Locally, he's played a pivotal role in the county's response to the COVID-19 pandemic, opioid overdoses, and hepatitis outbreaks, as well as working to improve healthcare for unhoused and incarcerated people, among many other things. And he's working to bring stakeholders together to improve public health in underserved communities, which, of course, could include much of East County. He's also won a bunch of awards, including the San Diego County Top Doctors Award in 2022 and the Kresge Foundation Emerging Leaders in Public Health Award in 2018. So, Dr. T, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Miriam, for the kind introduction and pleasure to be here.
Well, we really appreciate you joining us. So I want to start by asking you about some national breaking news. The CDC has just slashed its support for local governments. They've announced they're going to quit testing or providing support for local governments on testing for 20 diseases. This includes rabies, measles, monkeypox, chickenpox, parasitic diseases, a whole bunch of others. And it comes amid a nationwide measles outbreak. And locally, you know, we've had recent cases of rabid bats and rat lungworm disease just found here in local wildlife. So how concerned are you about these changes, and how will this impact the county's ability to test for and track these diseases?
Thank you, Miriam. And we're definitely tracking, you know, there continues to be a lot of changes at the federal level. And unfortunately, you know, this was news that we heard about last week. The good news is that locally, we do have a pretty robust public health laboratory. And so for the most part, we are pretty self-sufficient in terms of being able to do our own testing. And of course, this is not ideal because there is some kind of backup testing and things like that that's done at the federal level. We are probably in a better position than many other jurisdictions. We also found out Friday that this is not for all of, for example, rabies or monkeypox testing. It's just what's called CLIA testing. So certain types of tests. And thankfully, for example, with rabies, you know, we actually do a lot of the on-site animal rabies testing. We actually have a necropsy laboratory where we are able to test. And that's why we actually are able to quickly turn around samples that we receive and, you know, do the sampling, figure out whether the rabies was there or not, and then do the notifications.
Very good. I'm wondering if the state of California might step in on some of these testing that the feds are not going to do anymore.
Yeah, we're definitely in touch with the state public health lab, and we do also have a very robust state public health lab in California. So we're lucky on that front too. And I'll say just an example of the state one is that, like, when for Mpox or monkeypox, when we do some testing, like there's different clades it's called, and so but we can do a confirmatory testing with the state level laboratory or San Francisco, for example. So, you know, we're not as concerned, but we know the CDC changes are temporary. They're saying that they're looking into processes. And so we're not sure how this is going to play out in the longer term.
Okay. What are your thoughts about the federal changes that have recently been announced for vaccine requirements and vaccine recommendation? We've seen some big changes coming down on things like COVID and even flu. Your thought? And I might add that major organizations like the American Pediatrics Association, or whatever the professional association is called, has come out disagreeing, and the American Medical Association, with what Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has done at the federal level on vaccines.
Yeah. You know, our mission in San Diego County as the health department for all of San Diego is really to promote health and improve quality of life for all of our San Diegans, right? Our mission is not a political one.
Right.
We really care about the health of all of us, right, including our East County residents. And so we, we want to not deal with the politics, of course, and just stick with the science as much as possible. We are fortunate in California that there was a trailer bill last year, AB 144, that preserved access to immunizations at, through your pharmacist and the ability to follow these science-based recommendations, which is what the American Academy of Pediatrics and others are also championing. Definitely, we know that the conflicting messaging at the federal level, and what you're hearing from maybe California and some of these states, and that is causing a lot of confusion for our families, for San Diegans, and people already have valid, questions about vaccines and things, and that they've been for decades talking with their pediatricians or their family medicine doctors or internal medicine doctors about. So, we always advise, continue to talk to your doctor. That is, that person that you have intimate healthcare conversations with, right? Whether it's
There you
about
go.
cancer or vaccines, anything in between. And
Does the
so,
county have a site up of vaccine recommendations people can go to if they want to see what our county recommends?
we have a website. I can share that with you
Okay,
afterwards.
great. We'll put that into an article, folks. And if you're listening, you can go to our site at eastcountymagazine.org and we'll put it up there. And
And we
based.
have, I'm sorry, I should say that
No, go ahead.
in East County, if you're uninsured or underinsured, we do have an East Region Public Health Center
Excellent.
that does offer many of those vaccines. So I can share that with you as well.
Very good. Where is that health center located?
It's in, I want to say, El Cajon, but
Yeah, I think so.
let me get back to you. I'm sorry if I'm.
Okay, no problem. invasive Aedes aegypti mosquitoes. they showed up a few years ago, and last I checked, they were widespread. They were finding these things all over the place, and that has resulted in at least a few cases of West Nile virus in recent years here. And they're also capable of carrying Zika virus and even yellow fever, which is like fatal 50% of the time if you're not vaccinated, if they were to bite an infected traveler returning with one of these. So I wonder if you can give an update on that situation as we enter mosquito season. What should people know? How concerned are you?
Yeah, you're right. As a result of warming climates and things like that, we have these invasive mosquitoes that are here that, decades or, ago were not here, and this is not their usual habitat. But because of the warming climate, now they've found a home in San Diego. We haven't had Zika in a while, thankfully. Earlier, when I first came to San Diego, we were dealing with some of that. But there's dengue, like you said, some of the West Nile, and so. We do partner with our environmental health department, which is not a public health department, but a very, very close ally and really performing a public health function by doing surveillance of the mosquitoes around the county, laying traps, doing mitigation efforts, and then of course, we partner with them to notify the public whenever as we do find things, in animals or mosquitoes and stuff like that. And so far, there's
You're
been
good.
no human detections, but we have detected West Nile earlier in the year than we typically do, and we did announce that a couple weeks ago.
Interesting. Obviously, common sense things like making sure your screens are in good shape on your
Yes.
house so that these mosquitoes can't get in because they'll bite during the daytime, and even they can even breed inside. So it's a little different than the
Absolutely.
native
Yeah.
mosquitoes.
And standing water, I think it's easy to forget. And I have this problem too in my backyard, playing
Oh,
with
yeah.
kids and things that
Sure,
sometimes
every
it's just
toy is
standing
full of them, yeah.
water, places, pools, making sure that, you're
Right.
covering them or and then other things is of course things that we could do in terms of loose but long sleeve clothing or things like that and
Yeah,
or
bug
running for a
repellent
breath
if you're going to
around
be
them.
out in a
Exactly.
mosquito-infested area.
Yeah.
Another concerning new illness that has popped up here just recently is something called rat lungworm disease. It's, I guess, caused by a brain-eating worm. That's kind of scary. And it's been found in local rats and opossums and even an animal, I think it was a koala or something at the zoo. What should the public know to stay safe from this? And should I wonder if this, some of these other new diseases popping up, should these be reportable illnesses from day one? So if a doctor finds a human case of rat lungworm disease, we'll all know about it.
Thank you. And I will say that because these are new and emerging things that we're seeing locally, we haven't had any human cases reporting back to 2012 that we're aware of, but we are working with the state when I checked in with the team and our partners, regarding this new finding. So far, not aware of any discussion around making this reportable, but I know we're talking with the state because we do. Then the state does change some of those things that are reportable.
So people should basically control rats, which can carry this, but also snails and slugs. I guess from what I've read, if a snail crawls across your lettuce or vegetables growing, or a slug, that slime, if it's infected, can actually, transmit this to you. So just making sure you carefully wash all of your
Washer,
fresh fruits and
exactly. Oh,
veggies,
yes.
and don't let the kids drink out of the hose where a slug might have crawled up there, taking appropriate rat control measures, of course, are things you can do.
Absolutely.
Let's see. I think we've touched on some of these. Go ahead. What
I
about?
also wanted to say,
Yes.
sorry, if it's okay to go back to when we talked about
Absolutely.
mosquitoes and kind of the changing climate and having new types of mosquitoes in our region. When we also talk about changing climate, the other big thing and really that impacts a lot of us, especially your folks in East County, is the heat. And that is something that, over time we're seeing now the heat season expanding and really being all year round. We just had a heat wave a couple weeks ago, and that was,
Like 100
something
degrees
that
in,
exactly
in
a couple
winter.
decades ago we never would have had that, right? And so, and especially we know that in East County that and parts of North and Northeast, and that we see the highest temperatures. And so it is really important that we continue to pay attention to what we could do to keep ourselves and our body temperatures cool, especially as when there's not as much cooling overnight, then your body's working, twice as hard, and you don't get to recover during nighttime. So, that's why we always recommend things like air conditioning or going to a cool zone and some of these other interventions. But I know a lot of your audience is very used to that, but it's always a good reminder that that's something we have to pay attention to and check on
It
our
makes me
neighbors.
think back to when we were kids and we were traveling across the desert one time, and the AC in the car went out, and we were putting like T-shirts in a cooler to get them really cold, and then we'd take it out and put the cold T-shirt on, and so
That's a smart idea. Yeah, those things will help reduce your body temperature.
there you go. I want to ask how concerned you are about the rise in measles cases that we're seeing nationwide, coinciding with a health director at the federal level who's been skeptical about measles, vaccines, and not surprisingly, we're suddenly seeing a rise in measles, which a few years ago, the U.S. had been declared pretty much, measles free, and I think we've had some cases in California as close as Disneyland, I think. How concerned are you about that?
Yeah, we're very concerned. I mean, each case we recently, it was not a San Diegan, but there was the visitor who was traveling through San Diego just a couple weeks ago with a case of measles, and that one case resulted in so many individuals who were exposed
I
just
heard
by,
about that. It was actually, I had some surgery and I was actually at that hospital the
Oh,
day of the
wow.
exposure. Thankfully, I was not in the ER, but anybody who went to the ER at Sharp Hospital potentially that day was exposed to measles, which is really, and it's like the most transmissible
It's the most
disease.
contagious thing that we're aware of, right? Like communicable disease that we're aware of on this planet. So, anyone 2 hours before and after who are essentially sharing that air, right, could have been exposed. And so that's why we are monitoring a lot of those individuals. And it's so important. That's just one case. We know that, like you're saying, there's outbreaks, there's large amount of cases of activity around the country. And at the same time, and this is also part and due to, some of the different confusion and dialogue and rhetoric going around, but we are seeing a decline in our measles vaccination rates when we look at our MMR vaccination rates when we look at our kindergartners. And we have that data online in a dashboard.
Let's talk for a second about what are some of the serious outcomes of measles other than death, which, while rare, is possible, but what are some of the other things that it can do, especially to kids if they catch it and they're not vaccinated?
Several. So kids can get hospitalized. About one in five, can be very seriously impacted and be hospitalized. We could see pneumonias, we could see brain swelling or encephalitis,
So brain damage basically from
right?
it.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't
And
have
then there's also, and there's no cure, right? This is only
no.
supportive treatment, and yet we
Right.
have really good preventive vaccine. And one thing I always try to emphasize is that the vaccine hasn't changed. It's not like, even when we talk about COVID and flu, there's new boosters because there's a different
Right.
variant circulating or something. That the vaccine is still really, really effective with two doses. And so,
And some adults may need boosters, I understand, if you were, born in certain years.
exactly. Yeah, if you were born in certain years in the 60s,
Yeah.
and then you'd want to talk to your provider to see, if you would qualify for a booster depending on what year and things like that. The other thing though is that there's even cases of people who have measles are fine, recover, et cetera, and then 6, 7 years later develop a different disease. And we know that that's tied to measles. And so
Yeah.
that has impacted individuals and even their livelihoods or their lives. So
Yeah, they're really scary potential outcomes. It's like with polio. We've all had the vaccine for a million years, and I'm old enough to remember, a cousin that was in an iron lung for life from
yeah.
polio, 1 year before the vaccine became available. So important
Yeah.
to know about these things. I was surprised to read that San Diego is now a hot spot for tuberculosis, nationally. Tell us a little bit about that.
Of course, yeah. So we've always actually been a hotter spot, I would say. So our TB, our tuberculosis rates are higher than California overall, which is higher than the country overall.
Is that because we tend to get a lot of people from other countries coming here who maybe haven't been vaccinated for it?
It is, and I would say the vaccine for TB, like I got it, I was born abroad, and but that's
Yeah.
only really to protect individuals in the first 5 years of life. It's not
Oh,
really
I
like a
see.
long-lasting vaccine, and we
Ah.
because we know kids with TB can have very serious negative outcomes, but really, we know that in San Diego County that we do have a lot of foreign-born individuals. We do have a lot of visitors and tourists, and we are. We share our border, and so there are several different risk factors, and of course,
Right.
people work and play closely with other individuals, so there's a lot of opportunities for transmission. The good
Yeah.
news is that it's a very slow kind of disease in
And
terms of
treatable with
contagiousness,
antibiotics if you catch it
and
on
it's
time.
totally treatable. But the best thing is it's preventable. Even though there's a lot of opportunities to actually screen for tuberculosis to see if you have the germ in your body, and it takes years usually for most people before the germ gets turns into infection because your body really fights it, and it's not till you have cancer or like diabetes or
Right.
HIV or something else that's really affecting your immune system that your body can no longer fight it, and you end up getting the infection for most people. And so there's an opportunity to take one medicine or one drug basically for 4 months at the most usually and prevent it from becoming and killing it and getting rid of it out of your body versus getting active TB where you may be contagious and infect other people and you have to take several drugs for a longer
Yeah,
period of time.
right. I want to talk about tick-borne diseases for a minute. A lot of people, I think, are surprised to find out that we actually do have tick-transmitted diseases like Lyme disease right here. What are some of the tick-borne diseases that you've seen here in San Diego County already? And then we'll talk about a scary one that might be coming down the pike.
The alpha gal, yeah,
Yeah, the alpha
and
gal. But let's talk about the ones that are already here.
I'll admit that that I'm probably not the best most well versed in terms of tick-borne diseases, and
Okay.
this is actually something I was dealing more with in New York, right?
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
But the you're right that traditionally this is not an area or
Really, yeah.
hotspot for tick-borne diseases like versus Rocky Mountains or other places like that,
But
but
there are some. I mean, I know we've had
they
Rocky Mountain
are
spotted fever here. We've had
definitely, yeah.
definitely, I know people who've gotten Lyme disease right here
For
in East
sure.
County, who
Yep.
didn't leave the area and got it.
And Lyme disease is another great one in terms of
Yeah.
prevention because we know that there could be long-term, long-lasting impacts of Lyme disease as
Yeah, and
well.
it can be hard to diagnose. So the best thing is just
The
Don't
best
get it.
thing, with this and many of our things, right, is always prevention whenever possible. So knowing that if we're going through kind of bushy areas or, going through trails, things like that, wearing those kind of longer sleeves, longer pants, things like that, hats, and then of course, if we have, kids or if we, when we come back from these events, just to look through your body, look through your hair, or inspect each
Pets,
other.
dogs can
Yeah.
get these too. My friend just came
Exactly.
back from a hike, not in San Diego, but her poor dog was just covered in ticks. And so, yeah, you want to get those off of your animals right
Because
away so that they don't become ill as well.
absolutely, there's usually a little window because it takes them that takes a little while to actually do the bite and transmit whatever disease is. So if you can identify it early and prevent it, that's ideal, of course. And if you do get a bite, yes, please definitely seek care.
Yeah. Let's talk about alpha gal syndrome, which just 3 or 4 years ago, this was only found in Texas from the Lone Star tick there. And now it's in many states. It's all over the East Coast, the Midwest. I think they've had a couple of, at least the tick has been found in parts of California. I read that in Martha's Vineyard now, all the
Wow.
restaurants are serving vegan because what this tick does is if you get it, get bitten by it, you can get something called alpha gal syndrome, and it makes people become allergic to meat and dairy products. You might become a vegan by force, I think, or a vegetarian at least. Do you know to your and the other scary thing was that I saw a couple of reports that said it's now believed that there's more than one tick species that can carry this, including I think black leg deer ticks or something. At least one of them is actually found in
In San
California.
Diego, yeah,
Yeah, in
in
San
Cal,
Diego.
yeah.
Is it in San Diego? Yeah. So that was what I was going to ask is which of these ticks have been found here, and have you had any cases to your knowledge yet of alpha gal in syndrome in San Diego County?
And Miriam, I'm sorry, I'll probably have to get back to you on this just because I
Okay.
want to
I'm
confirm
especially
that.
wondering, are they checking ticks? I mean,
Yeah.
is the county doing any checking out there so this doesn't become like those invasive mosquitoes where one day it was just a handful and now there's thousands of them all over the place? What are we doing to monitor for the ticks that can carry this
Tick-borne
really
disease.
scary disease? Yeah.
For that, I'd probably want to touch base with our environmental health colleagues, just like they have a vector control program, to see if they are doing anything on that perspective, or like we look for Hanta, or other things like that.
Onto my, yeah, we didn't even get to
Yeah.
that with the mice, but is that on the rise or has that pretty much been stable? Occasional cases of it.
To
Mostly
my
just in
knowledge,
mice,
yeah,
no human
just
cases here.
yeah, no human cases.
Okay.
But again, that's the reason why we do the our environmental health does such a great job in terms
They
of
do.
surveillance, and that's so important to communicate so that people know, it's still out there, it's still in our community, and so
For
it's
those not familiar, it's carried by mice, and typically someone would get it by going into, say, a shed or someplace that hasn't been used for a while, where there's a bunch of mice droppings, and you inhale and can get these spores that cause the illness.
especially when you're cleaning, you want to make sure you wet the what you're cleaning first so that the spores
Right,
don't
no dust. Yeah.
aerosolize. Exactly.
Let's talk about something that you are more familiar with, and that is, I understand that you've been working hard to work to do more to prevent to improve health care and hopefully prevent deaths in county jails, which has been an enormous problem under more than one sheriff here, and also among homeless people living on the street. So can you tell us a little bit about what you've been doing and what else needs to be done to better protect the health of these vulnerable individuals?
Of course, and I'll start with the people experiencing homelessness first, and then
Okay.
if it's okay. But yeah, in my former role, I was working on both the justice impacted health as well as street medicine efforts. And so what we
Great.
did for street medicine or street health is that it's that concept that, just like for many of us, it's can sometimes be inconvenient to go to your physical doctor's office for many things. It is, so much incredibly more challenging if you're experiencing homelessness and you have so many other competing priorities. And we know that people may even be close to a clinic, but they don't want to leave their belongings, which are
Yeah.
literally, all in, a couple bags, especially I'm talking about your unsheltered homeless
Right.
specifically. And so many, thankfully, there's been several different changes at the national level. There's a place of service code now where it's been acknowledged and allowed for providers to do care on the streets and actually like code that as such. And then
Good.
at the state level, the Department of Healthcare Services has produced an opportunity for the managed Medicaid or Medi-Cal plans to actually allow some reimbursement for providers who are doing that type of work. And so even
Very
though
nice.
we don't have a full primary care clinics and things like that. That's a county level. We are blessed that in San Diego County we have a rich network of federally qualified health centers or community health clinics. And so many of we've
Very good.
really gotten them all together, as well as the plans, as well as people with lived experience, to have those conversations around what should we be doing to accelerate this work, right? How do you do more
Excellent.
work? Who's doing work where? How do we, complement each other's works, and how do we share resources? So that's what that work really was doing, was bringing attention, bringing coordinating resources, and we continue to have quarterly meetings. I'm less involved now with that, but I am still involved with Regional Task Force, as I do serve. And going into your other topic on their justice impacted ad hoc committee, which after a few years, we did start an ad hoc committee at the Regional Task Force just to talk about the unique challenges, because when you're experiencing homelessness, you may have different reasons and different challenges that you're dealing with, whether you're a family, whether you're youth, whether you're a veteran, and there's even more specific challenges that those who are justice impacted may face. They may
Well,
not.
yeah, and issues like hospitals that sometimes discharge these seriously ill patients, straight to the street, or shelters that may not be equipped to take, somebody who can't sleep in an upper bunk, for example. There's just all kinds of issues. People that have dogs and they don't want to go in and get health care because they don't want to lose their dog. They have nowhere to leave their dog. I've seen suggestions that if they could come up with, someplace where people could check their dog in for a couple of days if they need to, or for a day, even if they need to go to a doctor appointment or they need to go in the hospital and not lose their pet if they're on the street, is so there's a lot involved there.
Yeah, very unique challenges. And so the other good opportunity I wanted to bring up is that with for you mentioned our jails, is that both our sheriff's jails and our probation youth detention centers are, and our state prison system, they've all been able and are now kind of starting these processes to do what's called to use Medicaid in detention facilities. And that since the start of Medicaid has not been allowed in 1965. And there's been a waiver, and California was actually the first state to get that
Wow, that's
waiver.
great.
And it's taken a couple of years. And so we've worked, and we've actually shared our consultant with the jails and the probation to help, guide and for them to, be ready for that, to implement that process. And the handoff, really, especially up to 90 days pre-release, probation has started that, and I know the sheriff's is close to starting that. And then it also includes that re-entry component, where you really want to connect people to the right services so that you're decreasing their chances of, getting reincarcerated and
Yeah, plus the naloxone that
success.
they've rolled out has
Yeah,
certainly
naloxone.
helped, but not completely eliminated the overdose deaths.
Correct.
It's
Yeah,
still an
there's
issue.
unfortunately still, drugs getting in and things like that. So you're
Yeah,
absolutely right.
very good. Well, I know that you are short on time today. You have other appointments, so we appreciate you taking the time. I did want to just ask in general, are there any other issues that you want to see prioritized or anything else you want our audience to know about your role as the county's new director of public health services?
Thank you, Miriam. And so I would say three, right? As public health officers, really the biggest thing is trust in public health. We are the county and the full county's health department. And again, like I said earlier, we're apolitical. We are not, it doesn't matter what some of this rhetoric and things going on. We just want the best. And so we know that we've lost a lot of trust in public health, especially after COVID or during COVID. And we know that we need to be intentional about how do we regain the community's trust in certain areas. And we know there's groups that historically have not trusted government or public health departments and things like that. And I'm thinking of like African Americans with Tuskegee Syphilis Study, right? And stuff. So, or medical institutions. And so, so we are actively thinking through and continue to engage. And so, with the community, the other thing I wanted to say is that, the only locally proclaimed emergency we have at the county is around the Tijuana River. And even though that is very, most specific to our South Bay communities, that impacts our whole region, whether it's economically or health-wise. And so that
Well,
I know where I'm spending a lot of my time really to really just see what else could we do and how do we
very
solve
important.
the issues. And then the last thing I'd say is that we unfortunately or fortunately, we're not getting any younger, and we as a region continue to age. We know that there's a lot of opportunities to stay connected, and we need to mitigate kind of that loneliness epidemic and some of the health impacts or vulnerabilities as we age as much
Very
as we
important.
can. So I think there's probably more work that we need to do in that area as well.
Absolutely. Well, we will look forward to hearing more about that. Hopefully, this is our first conversation, but hopefully not our last. We appreciate you taking the time to join us. For those who may have tuned in late, we have been speaking with San Diego County's new Officer of Public Health Services, Dr. Seyon Dihalalipaban. We appreciate you taking the time to join us today on the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso. And we will be posting the full interview at eastcountymagazine.org. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Miriam. Appreciate your time.